Well, do please keep the first of those readings open in your Bibles, if you have one within reach. Proverbs chapter 4, there on page 638. And let's pray as we take a few minutes in this together. Great Father, open our hearts to your word and your words to our hearts, that by your Spirit they would be powerfully at work, refashioning us into the likeness of your Son. For his glory we ask it. Amen. Well, here we are. It is the end of this series in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to take a few minutes together to think about ambition. Ambition. This won't be a new topic to any of us. What was it that first brought you into the centre of London? It will have been the desire to do or achieve something, however modest. It will have been some ambition personal to you. London is in many ways like a great machine in which ambition sets the pace. We see it in the determined look in the eyes of the person purposefully striding up Regent Street. We feel it in the ethos that is set within our own workplaces. How then does this book of Proverbs speak into this crucial area? What does it have to say? Well, you may or may not be surprised to hear that it is remarkably positive about ambition, but not just any ambition. Of all the many things that we may desire to do or achieve, there is one thing we should set our ambition upon above all else. Get wisdom, says Solomon. As you've been familiarizing yourself with this book over recent weeks, perhaps you've recognized this thread running all the way through. Get wisdom, says Solomon, though it cost you all you have. Be ambitious and make the acquiring of wisdom your greatest ambition, the one to which every other ambition gives way. Okay, but why privilege wisdom in this way? Why place this center stage and make it the focus of all our energies? Over these past weeks, we've thought about trust and the use of our tongues. We've thought about shrewdness, about generosity, justice, and diligence. Shouldn't we be equally ambitious in regard to these? Here's the thing. You could be ambitious in pursuit of diligence, but for lack of wisdom, never know where to invest your efforts. You could be ambitious about becoming a shrewd operator, but for lack of wisdom, make the wrong call at every turn. If instead you set your ambition upon acquiring wisdom, what you'll find is you will get to celebrate the gains from due diligence as you live out your life. You will grow more shrewd at navigating the complexities of your life. That's because all these other things are the fruits of wisdom. Get wisdom, and everything else will flow from and be shaped by it, whether that be shrewdness, diligence, or any other good thing. This being so, how does ambition get to work in our lives as we set about acquiring wisdom? The verses before us here in Proverbs chapter 4 quickly tell us three things. Firstly, ambition perceives. Verse 1, listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. If our ambition is to acquire wisdom, we must first perceive that it is something of worth. We must value it. Last year, I went along to the Tower of London, and for the first time, I set eyes on the crown jewels. The whole way they are presented to us in their display is designed to help us perceive their value. What is their value? Priceless, we're told. But sometime before that, I had been in the library of St. Paul's Cathedral, where I had the rare treat of setting my eyes upon a first edition of William Tyndale's New Testament, the first full translation into the English language. Now that's something that I perceive to be truly priceless. Ambition perceives the value of something. If you fail to perceive the value of something, you will never go after it. Wisdom, as passed on from a father to a son, you'll pay no attention to it. You'll easily forsake it until you come to recognize its true worth. Sound learning there in verse 2. That refers to learning that is wholesome and healthy. Learning that, when taken on board, makes for a whole, a filled out and healthy life. May we be given the eyes to perceive the true value and worth of this life-giving wisdom on offer to us. Secondly, ambition prizes. Verse 4. Then my father taught me and said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. To perceive the value of something is a start, but this seldom translates into ambition for that thing until we begin to prize it. That is, desire it. Think of all those good intentions that many of us have, especially at the start of the new year or a new season. We see them as good, but how are we doing acting upon them? 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months in. Well, I've just been too busy. No, that's not the reason these things have fallen by the wayside. We've not acted upon them because we haven't yet begun to prize them enough. We always make the time and give ourselves to the things we truly prize. The more highly we prize something, whatever it is, the more of us it receives. Verse 4, take hold of my words with all your heart, prize them. Verse 6, do not forsake wisdom, love her. Ambition is always an affair of the heart. There's nothing dull or perfunctory about acquiring wisdom. It's a love affair that sweeps us up and carries us along. It moves us from the place of could have through the place of will have to a place of must have. May we be given hearts that truly prize, that must have this living wisdom that offers itself to us. Thirdly, ambition pursues. Verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this: get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Perceiving and prizing leads to pursuing. Of course, there are many things of this world that we perceive to be of some value. It tends to be that the higher the value we place upon those things and the more we prize them, the further we will pursue them without counting the cost. Wisdom, rightly perceived, is something that outprices the world. It calls for our constant pursuit, not just for today or for tomorrow, but across a lifetime. It will be worth the cost. Why? Because it promises to bestow upon us a graceful garland and a glorious crown. The problem with so many other things that we set our ambitions upon is that at the end of the day, they don't deliver. They promise much, but leave us sorely disappointed. Not so this God-given wisdom. The promise here is that mere beggars will receive a crown. We who are today stumbling through life, trying to make best sense of it, will tomorrow be seated as princes. So, may we be graced with the resolve to keep on in the pursuit of wisdom, confident in its reward. Ambition perceives. Ambition prizes. Ambition pursues. It's helpful to recognize that these three principles are always at work when ambition is in play, whatever the object. Now, I'm sure we've all been there. We've all at times made the mistake of reading this book as though the wisdom being referred to and held out to us is that which has an earthly origin. That wisdom by which, say, a 70-year-old is reckoned wiser than a 7-year-old. But this book won't let us make that mistake. The wisdom referred to here in Proverbs is heavenly in origin. It is that by which a 7-year-old can be reckoned, and often is reckoned, wiser than a 70-year-old. Wisdom always comes to us from without. Have we appreciated just how far out? In everything that Solomon says about this wisdom, it quickly becomes clear that he's referring to a person, as here in chapter 4. So, is it that wisdom is something to be acquired, or is it more that wisdom is someone to become acquainted with? Something to be acquired, or someone to be acquainted with? Wisdom is always personal. And this wisdom that we're interested in, it comes not simply from a father, but rather from the Father. It is that which has now come down to earth from heaven. The person of Jesus Christ, who is, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the wisdom of God. Friends, will you take to heart the message of this book? Will you be ambitious in getting acquainted with wisdom? Get Jesus. Though it cost you all you have, get Jesus. That's the message. Ambition will perceive Jesus, recognizing his true worth. Ambition will prize Jesus, desiring his presence in our lives. Ambition will pursue Jesus, cherishing his certain reward. This season of Lent, which has just begun, that's a great time for resetting these very priorities. Get Jesus in this way, and everything else will flow from and be shaped by him, whether that be diligence, shrewdness, or trust, or any other good thing, all equipping us for a life well lived. So to close, what then is ambition for the Christian? The old evangelist, Dwight L. Moody, was once in conversation with a friend who told him, "Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him." Moody pondered what he heard. His response, "By God's help, I aim to be that man." Ambition for the Christian is to be that man or woman who lives for Jesus in everything. Who lives for Jesus in everything. Get Jesus and everything else will follow. Cherish Jesus and he will exalt you. Embrace Jesus and he will honor you in a way that no thing and no one else ever could. Getting Jesus and living with and for him is always ambition best placed. Amen.